If Murray has supported the show, I'd be less sick of podcasts.
The Blubbity Blah.
Sending out good vibes.
Good vibes. Utter deep breaths of deep gratitude and prayers for guidance and protection. And put on a didgeridoo and shamanic drumming track. Shivers or vibrations and stuff like that.
Okay, guys, welcome back to the Grime America Show. First show of 2026, right? For this podcast. First show of 2026. Hey, start the year off right with a subscription. Do that right now. Hit pause. Even if it's just $1 a month, you can all afford $1 a month. Go sign up for $1 a month. If y'all signed up for $1 a month, we will stop asking you for money.
That's a good.
If you guys all sign up for $1 a month, then I will stop asking for money. So hit pause, go sign up for $1 a month, come back. You already signed up, make a one-time donation. Maybe that, but anyway.
Grimerica.ca/support for that, right? Yeah. It's right on, go to the website, it's right there.
Just do it, get signed up for $1 a month. Let's make sure the show gets all the way through 2026. It has right off the bat, so we don't have to ask all year. Just sign up, just do it, Grimerica.ca.
There's even a Bitcoin address there too. So I got a note from somebody, BTC donation, late Christmas. I continue to listen to you guys all the time. Another great year of podcasts. And he's like, hi, Graham. I've never been to Canada, but half of my relatives are from there. My grandfather moved to the U.S. when he was 15 with no money from a farm near Quebec. Maybe one of the reasons I really love your show. Would like to send you a little Bitcoin. Do you have an address? So yeah, go to that support page and it's right there.
Yeah, there's an address there. I don't know. It's been a long time since we got a Bitcoin donation on there. So it's a real shame because we had the old Bitcoin address that I think at one time, that's when we were still working with that Jordan kid. And, you know, we didn't have a lot in there, but we had like a few $100. And this was when
Can you find that address?
Dude, me and Ryan from Kansas tried everything. We tried different emails and backup emails, and we thought the email was his old email that I'd made him at the Grimerica site. So I tried like reactivating that one, but I had access to it. So he must have just used some obscure email. And I mean, maybe he got it. Maybe he got the money, but
it's not in your old laptop anywhere?
No, it was still on the line. So it's in Coinbase or Coin Payments or whatever. They would have it. I don't know if by now they probably don't. And I think they just passed a new law or something saying that if you don't move the account money for so long, the government can take it.
What?
Yeah, I don't know if that was here in the States. But anyway, I mean, long story short, there's a few $100 in there that probably turned into a few thousand. There's probably like 10, 15 grand in Bitcoin in that old Grimerica coin payments account that is just gone, or Jordan got it. I mean, Jordan, if you're still listening, maybe we could like collaborate on this and split it. Which seems crazy to even offer that. But I mean, $7,000 is better than nothing. Because I found that one old account we had that had only had like $3 in it. And when I went in there, it had gone up to like $350. Yeah, this was a couple of years ago when Bitcoin had first gone up. Because when it went up, I was like, shit. So I started going into all these old little weird obscure accounts we had from when we were playing in Bitcoin. Because a couple of bucks had turned into a few hundred. You know, that one original laptop of mine might have like a few $100 or $1,000 on it, but I assume that's like in a landfill somewhere. I ended up giving it to my ex-wife's cousin, and I don't know. That one wouldn't be enough to be really, you know, it sucks. Losing $500 sucks. No one would be stoked about it. But that coin payments one, there was literally, you know, it's probably over 10 grand in there.
Yeah,
that's just gone now, or stolen. Well, it's stolen by someone eventually, either by ex-colleagues or by coin payments or by the government is going to end up with it. So anyway, end of rant.
We also, Remember when we sent it to the wrong person too, and they never got that back?
Dude, that was a half a Bitcoin.
Oh my God.
Because of that time, yeah, Bitcoins were only $250 or something.
That was a half a Bitcoin.
And I think it was for some Fiverr work or something like that. Some people were taking Bitcoin. We got some stuff done, got some jingles made or something. Send off the Bitcoin to wrong address. And then I can't remember how I contacted the address, because I think it was an address that I'd used for something else. That's how I had it. And then when I emailed that person, they were like, man, I don't know what you're talking about, buddy. And I'm like, well, it seems pretty fucking plain from my end that this is what's happened. So yeah, that probably, that would have been 50 grand now, I guess. 40 or 50 grand.
We've just never had good luck with that stuff. Remember when I finally put a little bit into the ETH and
right before it crashed at its all time high. And then there was another one I was thinking of. Oh yeah, remember when we were doing the Rockfin thing and they were paying us in those crazy Ray crypto coins that were like by now, I think they pay us in something else now, and it's so minuscule that it doesn't even really matter. Not even, it's only worth withdrawing like once or twice a year. But when we first went over there with the pyramid set up, we were making decent money for us. You know, it was like a real part of our budget, because it was $2,000 a month or something like that, US. And then now it's like $20 a month if we're lucky. But at that time then you had to convert it from Ray into this, and that cost you, like at that time it was costing you $100 or $200 to convert the shit. So you're losing there 10%.
Yeah.
And someone had went up through all the trouble to make this fuck. So Rockfin's recommending this site for us to convert the stuff on. And someone went to like all the trouble, cause this site was maybe whatever the fuck .net. And I must accidentally went to whatever the fuck.com. But someone had made this site to look just identical to the one on .net. Like the entry things and everything, just except when you hit enter, instead of converting it, it was just stealing it. They was just sending it to their account.
What a good scam.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. I remember talking to Rockfin. They were like, I don't know what to tell you. I was like, what the fuck kind of system is this where I have to navigate like a minefield of fucking scams to get my money?
here's the graph on ETH. I think I must have put my money in right in that big peak there. That's somewhere between I think like 2021, 2022, because I think we were at your old house then, right? So
yeah.
And now it's coming back up a little. I mean, it is back.
It's creeping back up.
It's back to three quarters of that peak. I would like to know. I'm going to find out where it was in that peak. It might be back up to where it was.
Where you want to be is right around 2017. That's when we were losing our Bitcoins. So another exciting Grimerica news. We have been officially kicked off of TikTok.
I can't, what is going on? I can't believe you come up with these things that shock me. I mean, we had that Canadian news sort of channel going for a while, and the A-list and the TikTok was blowing up. And like, I tell people and they can't believe it. They're like, what? You're kicked off of TikTok? I mean, all the stuff that I see in TikTok is way worse than what we're talking about. And yet, the
A-list had no vaccine stuff. Zero vax stuff, almost zero medical stuff. But we're getting, I mean, the last strike we got that I appealed on TikTok was for like arguing about ice core samples.
What?
Yeah. So what? It's like all the climate change stuff.
For what? A-list or Grimerica?
A-list was just bad mouth and politicians is really what it seems to have boiled down to at the end of the day, was politician
hate speech.
And, The Grimerica one was climate change, if I had to pick something.
The recent one was climate change?
Yeah, it was like the last episode that the shorts went out from. The one with the Christmas background and the guy being the trans Indian dude. That was actually the video that blew up. That got like 30,000 views and 1,600 likes, and ultimately got kicked off of TikTok.
So was Grimerica outlawed?
No, it was Grimerica. I mean, the shorts seemed tame enough that it would be fine, you know?
I'm blown away. Did they give you a reason, or they just show
you? I just find out because I get an email that the Vizard failed to publish the TikTok because the user doesn't exist. I was like, oh boy.
Unbelievable.
I had appealed them all, but we'll see. The appeals didn't help with the A-list.
You know, just when you think we're over that censorship hump, you know, and then now we I don't really want to even try and pay attention to what we should or shouldn't talk about anymore. Like, I thought we were past that. It's pretty frustrating. But now TikTok is doing it. I mean, because Instagram, like you were talking about before, Instagram seems wide open. I mean, I heard that Facebook is opening up a bit again, too. So
they both seem wide open. From the appeals that I see on both of those platforms, I don't go on TikTok, so I can't speak to that. Maybe some of the audience can let us know. But I see straight up Nazi propaganda videos on both of those platforms in the reels all the time, which is fine. I'm not complaining. I'm not saying those should be taken down, but I'm saying I'm getting kicked off for like sharing studies about ice cores. It's not like I'm making stuff up about ice cores. You know what I mean? We're reading.
And even if you were, so what? I mean, it's just, you know, you're allowed to make stuff up. People make stuff up all the time. The other side is lying through their teeth. Mainstream media is lying through their teeth. I mean, that's crazy that we're in this battle still.
Here we are.
Here we are. And the YouTube channels is, I mean, oh my God. So we are remonetized, right, on the YouTube channel, so we can accept. I thought somebody was saying they accept super, super, super thanks.
Yeah, so we've gotten a super thanks.
So that is a way to help support the show too. Like if you're a YouTube watcher, listener, you know, go over there, subscribe. You can send us a super thanks now, I think, right? Because we are monetized. We're not getting any ad revenue or anything like that. I mean, it's not monetized for that. It's just monetized so when we stream, people can tip us or whatever, super chat or super thanks for afterwards. But I mean, have we even grown that channel at all? How's that doing?
It's at like 16. It'll probably hit 16,000 next week.
So we've been at like 15,000 for like 10 years. I mean, you could say we've been
11,000 for a long time.
So you could say we've been at between 11,000 and 15,000 for like almost a decade. Almost a decade. You can say, you could widen that gap and just say we've been up and down through all the censorship battles and all the counseling and all the strikes and the almost getting it deleted over and over again. And now it's finally climbing slowly, slowly, slowly out of that from 14,000 to 16,000.
Our estimated YouTube revenue yesterday was 84 cents.
Nice. 84 cents. Well, that's the dollar that you asked everybody for. There you go.
That's $1.
Yeah.
$1 down. 12,000 to go, at least. I mean, 12,000 is like the low number for the low shows. The high shows are 40, 50, 80,000.
Yeah.
So
check out our other show too, like the roundup. We did the Grimerica Outlaw there. We're doing some fun roundups over there. Less.
Most of our YouTube revenue actually comes from members. We have five YouTube members: Peter, Johnny, Cody, Brad, and Kazmara, who sign up and pay us so much money. That's about half of our monthly revenue is from, because you can just sign up. Some people, that's easier than doing the PayPal thing. They don't want to do a PayPal thing. They don't want to do a Stripe thing, but they're already in the YouTube system. You can sign up for a monthly on YouTube as well. Maybe Twitter one day, but Twitter won't let us monetize. So there's that.
We'll never, I mean, unless you're like a Twitter power user, there's no point. I mean, we're not even thinking, you know, that kind of,
we're not even close.
No,
again, not even close.
No. And neither of us want to just be on there all day long trying to get money from it. I mean, holy, what that would be like. I'd rather be in jail than doing that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We'd rather be here trying to get money from you guys. So
yeah, exactly.
America.ca/support. Sign up for a monthly or make a one-time donation. The weather finally broke here, so it's like above zero. It's a little above freezing for a couple of days.
I don't think we're going to get there. I am realizing that Saskatchewan just never really get. I mean, it did go to zero a couple of days ago. I think maybe barely, but it doesn't go above zero. Like, I think once it socks itself in here, I think we're that much colder than Calgary where you are, that it just doesn't ever get out of below zero. Like, you know what I mean? It just stays frozen for five months.
It's supposed to be plus six here next week. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully that's the thing. I mean, the exciting thing is, like, I can already look at the forecast already out to like the 20th. And it's not super accurate, but it's kind of accurate. And it's like still above minus 20. So we're almost through January here without a crazy cold snap. And at least 1 month left, really. I mean, you get them in March sometimes, but it's very,
well, it's very February. Rare. I mean, we got 2 months.
February's a bit.
January, February.
Yeah, I'm saying, crazy. I'm looking at the forecast that gets me out to the 21st. January. Well,
you know what? You know what I think about forecasts? Wait. You know what I think about forecasts? I've been complaining in the chat. We had over a foot of snow.
I seen your little rant.
We had over a foot of unforecasted snow. What is that?
Well,
I don't know. Around the Christmas holidays when you're traveling and all, you're like, oh, it's not supposed to say any snow. And the thing changes by the hour. They just change it all afternoon. What?
Nobody was there. It's Christmas.
We wake up in the morning.
Is it getting pretty close on temperature, though?
I don't know. I guess they can forecast temperature better than precipitation.
They seem to be able to. So I'm just saying that if the forecast holds true, then now it's January 21st without a minus 30, minus 40 cold snap, which leaves like 5 or 6 weeks left before you don't have to really worry about it so much.
We've got our cold snap on the 28th, 29th. So I am scrolling through. This is AccuWeather. I don't know what to believe, but it looks like at the end of January, it goes the real feel shade is like minus 28, 23, 24, 22, 19, 29, 24, 31. So, I mean, 31, is that it? Is that?
That's not terrible, dude. A couple Februarys and Januarys ago, it was minus like 40 something for a week straight.
Yeah. I think I'd rather have that cold snap for a week straight and then have it like somewhat like around minus 15, 20 for the rest instead of like, you know, between minus 20 and 30. Because once you get past minus 20, it's just a pain.
Minus 20 is a bitch. That's kind of the mark where it's like everything sucks.
Yeah.
Vehicles are a pain.
Yeah.
The water becomes a real... My stupid water heater thing I bought on Amazon broke already, so I got to fucking fight with them for a refund on that or just to keep the chicken water unfroze, you know? That's just like a 300-watt light bulb going 24/7.
Wow.
Which ain't a lot. I mean, when I look at my bill, it's never the electricity that... It's the fees and administrations and the
hidden carbon tax.
Yeah. Over half the bill is delivery fees, administration fees. On electricity, it's $1.99, I think, delivery fee, flat rate. Plus whatever you use. Plus when it was a carbon tax, dude, it was fucking brutal.
Have you noticed it like less then since they took the carbon tax off the visible part and they put it into the...
Yeah, it's been
industrial pipeline.
Noticeably less this year. Probably 30-40%. I don't know if that's just for a year or how they're going to do that, but it's definitely notice a huge difference without the carbon tax on it. Hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
it's always hard to judge because the weather's different. And I mean, that first winter in here, it was minus 40 a couple times for a week straight. So, I mean, that's basically just your furnace running solid 24/7. Gets expensive. I mean, we got a big show tomorrow. Ethical Skeptic coming back. Roger's coming on. Coming on at noon. He's growing quite prolific on Twitter, and I've never seen him do another interview other than our podcast.
He's talked about, I was just reading a post from him now. He says, the Ethical Skeptic is throttled more than Hancock, Bright Insight, Randall, and Robert Malone. A nobody with a stark set of messages. Let that sink in. Because Ben Davidson was talking about two main differences between his pole shift scenario and the Ethical Skeptics. That'd be interesting, to see that one.
Yeah, someone accused the Ethical Skeptic of being a grifter. I was like, if you can find any place where I can give this guy money, I will send you, I'll buy a set of your fucking Slower shoes with your Twitter logo on them that you're selling on your website.
Not only that, but I mean, oh my God, as far as research goes and stuff.
And on multiple fronts.
I mean, how do you,
On multiple fronts. Yeah. Overdose, he's doing all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
The drug overdose deaths, the COVID-19 just infection stuff from the beginning, the COVID-19 vaccine stuff, and the ECDO stuff, which is what we'll be talking about tomorrow primarily. But yeah, it'll be interesting because I think we're one of the, I think we're one of the only shows he does. So be fun.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah.
So people can check that out. That'll be coming out next week, next Tuesday. Hopefully we'll be back on a more regular recording schedule here after the holidays. That'll back into Tuesdays. I got no new supporters to mention this week.
Well, I mentioned the Bitcoin one. That's about it. Yeah. No more, no new lords.
No new lords. You'll be the first lord of 2026. Couple years are close. I mean, we have that one fellow that just signed up for $500 a year. I mean, if we could just get like a few hundred of you to do that, we'd be laughing.
That's huge. Yeah, that's awesome.
Huge. So all these different ways you can support the show. Keep us going. We have a good chat with the dentist today. Of course, Nami Patel. We got some great trips coming up. Frank got his spot for Malta yesterday.
Oh.
So that's going to be a great crew heading to that. That's about 25% gone already. So people check into that. Get your deposit in early. Make the monthly payment so you don't have to pay all that money up front. If you just get the deposit in now, you've got like over a year to chip away at the rest of it.
That's Malta, Sardinia, and Sicily, which all three of those places seem pretty mind-blowing. I mean, even Sardinia, I've been looking at that island a little bit more detail, and man, they've got a bit of everything. A lot of Neolithic stuff, like 10,000 Neolithic sites. Like they were building towers, Neolithic towers, all over the island. Like that must have just been populated with little tribes or something all over the island, building these towers out of rocks. But there's stuff that goes back. There's stuff like, dugouts and like fairy homes and giants' graves, they're calling these things, and then right out of the stone seems to be like a megalithic aspect of it too. And then more of also a medieval mystery sort of aspect as well, but it's fascinating.
Yeah. And Roman, but there's definitely a shit ton of Cyclopean stuff there. I mean, shitload. The other place too, cause we were talking with Benton about maybe doing something in Japan down the road. And I started poking around there and I was blown away.
By the
megalithic stuff in Japan that I've never even sort of knew existed. You know, the big one, the under the water one.
Yep.
But I mean, I just sort of type in megalithic Japan sites and just start going through the images. And it's like, holy man, it's one of those spots. It seems like everywhere you go, that's covered in ice. So, I mean, the best way to sign up to get notified about all that stuff is to sign up for the newsletter, contact@thecabin.com. There's still some spots left for that Easter Island trip that's coming up in April, too. That is a real all-star cast. Come on, Lord Timmy. Get your butt in gear. Hell with Egypt. You've been there a bunch of times. Come to Easter Island with us.
Yeah. Going to the middle of the Pacific. Just middle of nowhere, 2,000 miles away from anything.
Yeah, those lava tubes, right? That Frank was talking about, people were living in them. A couple thousand miles, a 100 miles, a couple hundred miles of lava tubes, or 1,000 miles of lava tubes, or I don't know if there's people down there. Maybe you can get them from one island to the other. I guess yeah. That's a long fucking way. And once you got down below the ocean, I guess they'd be filled with water, probably.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. You know, I don't know if there's a dry, you could go under the ocean. You'd think you'd be able to go below water level if it's separated.
If it's sealed.
Right, if it's sealed. I mean, why does it have to be all filled with? I don't know. That'd be interesting.
We'll find out.
They go. Wonder how deep they go. I wonder if it goes to like inner Earth.
Ooh, there you go. We'll find out. You can come with us and find out with us. You can get lost in inner Earth with Grant on Easter at Easter Island. So check all that out. Contact at thecabin.com. Other than that, I think that's about it for this week. The first show of 2026. Let us know your New Year's resolution. Spam Graham at grahamerica.com. Do you have were you able to whip up any sort of a bio for this last minute early morning show?
Just give me a sec here quickly.
It was almost like going to work again.
Yeah.
It's like I usually ease into my days a lot slower.
She's got this green dentistry practice, and she teaches dentists how to, like, coaches dentists themselves how to get, like, to this level too, but she's also been involved in the functional wellness space as well. After learning how to become a dentist, she practices obviously focused on the patient first and foremost, from the spa-like comforts to high-tech non-invasive treatments. Every aspect of her practice is thoughtfully designed and focused on cosmetics, comfort, and your lifelong health. She's graduate of the University of California School of Dentistry. She specializes in holistic functional dentistry and prides herself on having the most high-tech dental practice with relaxing, luxurious spa-like amenities. Man, I really appreciate that. We need to have that more in Canada here. So that's about it. She's got a book too, that I can link to as well. And her websites are sfgreendentist.com and also... Let me just get back to my notes here. There's two websites there. Dr. Nami Patel, N-A-M-M-Y Patel.com. And the book is here. It's called Age with Style. It's on her website there too. It's available at Amazon as well. So there you go.
There you have it, guys. Enjoy our first interview of 2026. Let us know what you think. Enjoy the chat with Nami Patel.
Dr. Nami Patel, welcome to Grow America. Thanks for joining us. We're looking forward to chatting about holistic dentistry, or green dentistry, as you call it down there. So thanks for joining us.
I'm super excited. I can't wait to share with you all this cool information I have. And what a great way to save lives and be preventative.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like it's needed. It needs to grow as a practice. I mean, I was just mentioning briefly there that I think Darren has looked too. Darren and I have both looked in Calgary or in Alberta, And now I'm not in that province anymore, but for holistic dentistry. And it was pretty tough to find. I think I found like one or two maybe to choose from, but it was still a bit of a shock to me when I was in the city. And it just seemed like they were using all these old practices that have now become, you know, like you probably teach about, not really effective anymore, yeah, or maybe dangerous even. So yeah, maybe we'll start by talking a little bit about yourself and how you started coaching dentists instead of just practicing yourself.
Absolutely. So I am East Indian. I was born in India in my village of 8 houses. So I come from a very organic background. And I share that because the roots are what made me think differently. And so I immigrated to the US and when I was 5 years old, and we're in a consumer production-based society and, you know, a pill-based society. We want an answer to, you know, we want a pill for everything, you know. Oh, there's anxiety. Let me take a pill for that. I have a headache. Let me take a pill for that. Oh, I don't feel good. Let me take a pill for that, you know. And the reason that I started doing what I do is personally myself, when I was in my late teenagers, you know, I graduated college really early and I started dental school. And in fact, in dental school, we were so stressed out all the time that we didn't get outside. So our vitamin D levels dropped immensely. But, you know, I would go to the doctor and say, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. And they're like, maybe you're depressed. That was their answer to me versus telling me like, hey, your thyroid's a little low, but actually the precursor to thyroid, what we need in order to make those hormones, you know, you're kind of missing out a little bit on the vitamin D. Let's look at your lifestyle. Let's see what's the root of it all. So that was my beginning stages of, and especially in dental school, starting out that way. Then I went on, I started practicing and I've always done, you know, like Ayurvedic holistic practice. I added a whole different layer to it a few years out of dental school because my brother, who was 33 years old, passed away from a heart attack. Super abnormal. That should not happen, right? It's an anomaly. And so I was like, this doesn't make sense. He had just gone to the medical doctor, the emergency room, 3 days prior because he was complaining of chest pain. And they said, oh, it's acid reflux. Go home.
Yeah.
But it turned out that actually, you know, heart disease runs in our family. They didn't take the time to look deeper. They just judged him by the, you know, they judged a book by its cover, right? He was young. He was not obese, 33 years old. He had a pretty active lifestyle and was like, you're fine. And so it really got me into thinking I want to practice differently. Sure, I'm a dentist, you know, and as people say, you're not a real medical doctor. I was like, screw that. That's not me. What I want to be is I want to be a health doctor, and I want that my avenue, whether it's dentistry, whether it's functional medicine, whatever it is, I want to be able to provide that, whether it's holistic dentistry, biological dentistry, biomimetic dentistry, whatever that looks like. I went out and did the homework in order to be able to serve my patients better. And in fact, I went through an additional schooling through Kalish Institute for Functional Medicine and really learned. I knew the mouth stuff quite a bit, but now adding that whole layer of the physiology and the pathophysiology, how does the body work and what happens when it breaks down? So taking all of those things into consideration is how I've designed my practice, and I've been practicing like that for 20 years. And I also teach other dentists and other hygienists to be able to do this because we really can biohack through the mouth. We really can prevent disease through the mouth. And that's what it's about. There are so many articles written now that dentistry, we used to say, if you keep your teeth, it'll keep 10 years. You know, you'll add 10 years to your life. Now, because of science, because of all the things that we're doing, and especially a practice like ours, we are now able to help patients get 20 years of life disease-free. And that's the thing, disease-free. That means the quality of life is amazing. I want you to live and live well. And so that's the aspect of dentistry that I do, and I'm super passionate about it, and I can't wait to share with you. And I could go on and on and on, but I want to be, you know, I want to be able to engage a little bit. So I'll let you see.
Well, it's also an area where people in universal healthcare systems might have a little bit of leeway. Like in Canada, we don't get to try anything sort of different. You know, the state will have one, two, or three approved treatments, and that's what you get. Like during COVID, ours was remdesivir. That was it. You know, you just stayed at home until you were sick enough to get a remdesivir or a ventilator, and then they would deal with you. Whereas in the States and other systems, you have the ability to sort of shop around and do different things. But it seems like in most of the universal healthcare systems, you still kind of have dentistry as being wide open. Like in Canada, we still pay for our dentistry. And it, you just sort of have more of a relationship when you're paying the bill to be able to say, like, all our dentists are willing to try different stuff. Like Grandma's mentioned, you connect, that's hard to find, but you can find a holistic dentist because it's not fucking illegal, at least.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's actually a good, you know, important message that you shared. Even in the US, dental insurance is such a pain. And there has been so many times, like, I don't place any mercury in the practice. And when I do remove it, I remove it safely because it is linked to so many diseases. And so, like, dental insurance will only pay for certain things. I use biocompatible materials. They won't pay for that. So I let patients know off the back, like, hey, listen, I'll try to help you as much as I can with dental insurance, but just know that you're going to be paying out of pocket. And especially if you want good things that take time. It's not this in, out. It's this, you know, curated, personalized, customized, data-driven care. More important than that, it's results-oriented. Like my patients who come in saying they have bleeding gums, no longer have bleeding gums by the time we're done. And also we prevent them from coming back, right? Majority of the insurance-based or universal care-based practices end up having the same problem over and over and over and over again. And that is definitely an issue. So I agree with you, Darren.
Are a lot of dentists still using mercury? Is that like...
Yeah, I heard an email that
I wanted to ask you about. We don't talk to a lot. It's been probably 5 or 6 years since we had a dentist on. But I was reading something somewhere, I can't remember where, maybe a couple years ago, about that mercury being, because you always hear the rumor when you're a kid about the dentist being like the highest suicide profession. It seems to be the profession that has the highest rate of suicide. Maybe it's a coincidence, maybe it's not. But I was reading something that said it might have to do with this mercury they've been using, because sure, the patients are exposed to it too, but they're exposed to it on a way less regular rate than the dentists that are administering it were.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. There was several aspects of dentistry. And one of the biggest reasons for suicide is, my personal opinion, is twofold. One is that they're removing all the mercury, right? Number two, many of them knew that it was toxic and were still doing it. So there's that emotional component of doing it, because there's been controversy all this time. It's not like this controversy is new. It's been around for a long, long, long time. And, you know, it's a hard profession because it is emotionally and physically taxing, because we are in charge of a whole being who is nervous, who is scared, and we're working with them and working in areas that are so hard to see. Sometimes it feels like we're doing cartwheels to be able to get to that back tooth and be able to do a filling on there. So it is definitely taxing on those ends. But most importantly, I do agree with you that some of the reasons why, you know, dentistry in the past was associated with high suicide rates is because they weren't satisfied with the profession, right? Like the exposure to mercury, the stresses of day to day, which come with the territory. I mean, I have them too, but I'm never going to retire. I love what I do. I save lives, and that excites me. And I do it on my terms. If I don't feel good about something, I will not do it, right? I don't place mercury. I put crowns on, biocompatible ones. I take an x-ray, make sure that the fit is perfect. I'm taking my time with my patients. I am looking at their charts before they come in. I am auditing, like, what should I be concerned about? Because I'm more like a specialist. And people seek me out because they want the extra attention. They are willing to pay for it, and they know that it serves them.
Wow, that's good. So what are, I noticed recently going to the dentist that they seem less willing to do work on the teeth. They just want to pull them and then give you implants or something. And, or it seems like there's a change. Like my girlfriend and I both tried to go in the last, let's say 5-6 years. And it's just really quick to like, just pull teeth now. Has it changed where root canals are realized to be more dangerous or less effective than they used to be? Or,
you know, root canals have always been an issue. Actually, they have been more of an issue in the past than they are now, and it's because of technology. So root canals in the past were done, and especially if you're, you know, in Canada and there wasn't a specialist nearby, they were done in ways that was not the best quality, which leads to reinfection of the teeth, which leads to a lot of systemic diseases like cancer and things of that sort. You know, in the last, like I would say 10 years, there has been a lot more evolution in dental technology. And especially if you can do it in a holistic way or a biological way, which is lasers, ozone, and multiple medications, if that is done properly, we can actually do root canals that are safe.
Wow.
But here's my thing, Graham. So my thing is that we can't wait till the root canal happens. We need to be educating our people before. A root canal takes a long time. If you end up having a cavity that's so large that you need a root canal, it's your last measure to save a tooth. So we need a paradigm shift in dentistry and in health. Why not come in every 3 to 4 months, do a routine, you know, removal of the biofilm, get your cleanings done, right? If you do that and then remineralize the teeth by putting hydroxynanoapatite on it, putting some ozone underneath the gums, and then just coming and doing that every 3 to 4 months, that's the prevention piece. If you just do that on a regular basis, the odds of you actually getting a cavity or needing a root canal is like 0.00000001%.
Wow, really? Hey, it's that effective, the preventative part.
Yeah, it's the biofilm. And the reason why I talk about the biofilm and what I mean by the biofilm is that there's bacteria everywhere, right? And so one of the reasons we need to shower every day is to get that bacteria off. We brush our teeth to get that bacteria off. What happens is that it takes about 21 days where the bacteria in your mouth, they're going to be there no matter what. They harden. And so that's what we call the biofilm. The bacterial buildup is called the biofilm. Now, that bacteria, when it sits there for a long, long period of time, let's say 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, that's really a problem because you're swallowing all those bacteria and you're swallowing the bad bugs, right? So you're swallowing the bacteria. So, you know, just like a swamp and a pond. A pond is great. It's got koi fish. It's got this great ecology. Now, if you put some, you know, you let it be and you don't really, like, mud slides in, algae starts growing and it's been cleaned up, maybe a certain species of sharks come in through the place, it's going to change that swamp. Sorry, it's going to change it to a swamp.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to the mouth. It takes time from a pond to a swamp. And that swamp is disease causing. And that swamp has bleedy gums, has cavities, has root canals that are needed, has teeth that need to get pulled out. Those are all swamp-like disease states. So if we are able to keep it in that pond state, which is really, let's clean it, and we're in really good shape.
And it's hard to do just through floss and brushing, right? That's the point.
You can't. The reason is that what's going to happen with the biofilm is that it hardens after 21 days. And when it hardens, you can't get that off unless you use specialized instruments to be able to get that off. That's why they scrape during the dental cleanings, you know? we can power blast that off, but there's no way to get that cleaned up. And the other example I always like to use is, have you traveled, you know, maybe Mexico or to, you know, like if you go to Mexico, majority of the smaller towns, like when you go in the bathroom or near the water, you'll always see there's this grim of white, like barnacle-like stuff. that is becomes hard. And that's what happens in the mouth too. It's just like barnacles on a ship. They become hard. So they have to be cleaned off. So that's what occurs, is that you actually have to get them cleaned off in a dental setting.
That's good to know. That's good to have that retold to us.
So well, is this mostly because of sugar? Because it seems like, how old is dentistry? Or was this like, was there a time when we were doing things in a way that our teeth weren't constantly a problem? Is this something in the new world, or was dentistry sort of, was its lacking, has it been a problem for sort of primitive people?
So it's been a problem. So actually in dental school, I actually studied, I actually looked at dinosaur heads and animal heads from like, 500,000 years ago, a million years ago. And what we found was, and I remember this specific boar head that I looked up, like a skull, kind of like this, but it was a boar skull. And so we looked at the boar skull and we looked at the dentition. We could see what it was eating. We could also see the teeth were broken. We could also see that it had infections and they probably died from pain from some of them because you could see a lot of things from that. So as far as cavities, and they've been around, and the reason for it is whether you're human being, or whether you're a dog or a cat, or a rabbit, everyone has that biofilm buildup that occurs. And that biofilm is fed by sugar, is fed by acids. So those are the things that will cause decay and root canals and all of that stuff. But it's that initial state of that biofilm that needs to get controlled. And there are factors that increase the biofilm, and there are factors that decrease the biofilm. So one of the things that would increase the biofilm is going to be dry mouth, which if you're taking any anti-anxiety medication is most likely happening. If you're over 50, 60 for sure. Women, it starts during menopause. So that happens naturally because our salivary glands, as we get older, just decline. We don't have as much saliva. These are all parts of aging that naturally happen. And they really haven't been talked about much because, before 65 was peace out, end of life, right? Now we're biohacking. We're saying, how can we live till 150? How can we even go beyond that? Being a centurion is kind of normal now because we have these blue zones. And especially with more and more information, we're going to be able to live longer and longer and longer. And we're going to have to deal with a lot of different things that we haven't before, which is going to be our food quality isn't as good as it was, right? Because our soil is not nitrogen rich as it used to be. So there's some modifications. There's fires and the air is more polluted. There's things that as our bodies have to handle, and we have to look at the whole picture, not just one thing. We have to look at the mouth connected to the rest of the body, and not just a mouth as in a cavity or gum disease, but really, how does my mouth help me prevent Alzheimer's? How is my mouth going to help me prevent a heart attack? How is my mouth going to help me prevent arthritis? How is my mouth going to help me prevent chronic illnesses? That's what the conversation really we're having is really, how is a mouth the gateway? Because there are only so many openings we have.
Wow. That's fascinating. So I saw a couple like memes or something too, and you never know what to believe, but it was, and it made me think because they're so quick to remove teeth now, or at least, that's what my sense was, that had changed, and they were just easy. They just wanted like, okay, these have to come out. And, maybe you can put implants in or something like that. Yeah. So now I'm kind of missing a tooth down there because I'm just not good. Yeah. I don't want to pay the money to get an implant or whatever, but the nerves that come down from our teeth, I've seen those like pictures where they actually like connect to the whole body. And so is it something that, especially from like an Indian perspective too, with the chakras and energy systems and all that kind of stuff, like, is that important to try and keep the teeth in? Like, will they heal? Like, can you heal a tooth instead of pulling it out? Or I've also heard that people going, oh, the teeth will heal if you do this and that. And
there are certain times where you can heal teeth, but it's within reason. Like, so if the decay has not reached that, we call it the DEJ, dental enamelo junction, we can actually remineralize the teeth using hydroxynanoapatite, which is an alternative to fluoride. So we can absolutely do that for sure. Now, once the decay reaches the soft or the organic part of the teeth, that's when it becomes more problematic. And that's when we have to do like a filling. Now, that progresses. Sometimes it's really close to the nerve. And there are many times that I have used a laser to detoxify that area. And I've put a filling in it and I've let the body heal. And we've been able to avoid root canals and save the tooth. So I'm going to explain this very slowly because it's not for everyone and it can be it can help if you come at the right time, right? If you have a big hole in the mouth, it's going to be really hard. But if there is decay and a large one, what we can do is remove the decay, and our body is amazing because it has healing properties. And that's what we really want to tap into. And that's what I'm talking about with all the biohacking stuff, is tapping into that body's ability to heal itself by the, what we do with the tooth that's close to a root canal is we remove the decay and we use a laser to disinfect that area. We also use ozone oil. What the ozone does is disinfects, number one. Number two, it has regenerative properties. So it signals your body, says, hey, make some extra dentin here. That's the organic material. Make some extra material here. Just like our body knows if there's a cut, I have to start healing it. What we're doing is sending a signal to that tooth and say, create a protective layer here. And over a period of 3 to 6 months, it does.
Wow. That's awesome.
So it's definitely possible. And that, and so we really focus on, you know, being in the practice at the right time, and more importantly, being more preventative. And then I want to chat a little bit more about this process I talked about, which is we know how the body works. Our bodies are designed to work. We're an amazing machine. God, source, whoever you want to call it, he, she, they are amazing at putting this amazing body together because it has so many functions we don't even know about yet. But the one thing we do know is that it's designed to work and it's designed to heal. If everything is in the right place, it's going to be able to heal. Remember earlier I said I went to dental school and then I went to functional medicine? So the thing about understanding pathophysiology and physiology of how things work is really crucial, because when we know how things work, we can fix the area that doesn't work. So our bodies, we all need sleep. We all need water. We're 90% water, right? We all need to detoxify, right? We sweat, we poop, all of that stuff is happening. We all need to regenerate, right? Those are all bodily functions that occur. So when it comes to dentistry and how does it help with prevention and biohacking, what we're doing with the body is that it has a lot of functions. And so what we do is get rid of the bacteria from your mouth, number one, so that your body doesn't have to fight. It now doesn't have to worry about the detoxification and fighting those bacteria. It can focus on regeneration and fixing things that are not working. We already have the code for it. Our body's already designed to work. Now, as long as it's not distracted by all these bacteria or sleep apnea or snoring or mouth breathing, your body's going to fix itself. And that's the key to longevity. That's the key to biohacking. And that's what we really focus on. And that's where dentistry is really important. And that's also why I don't say just holistic dentistry. I say holistic, biomimetic, functional, and really health-driven dentistry.
Is there any natural things that help with that biofilm? Is there anything that maybe was more prevalent in the, because it seems like everything we're drinking nowadays, I mean, even the water is crap, you know, like I get my water from a spring, so it's still got some live stuff in it and we fill up our jugs. But for the most part, we're drinking this calcified water that's been treated a bunch of times, and then it's orange juice and pop and coffee and tea and all these things that have sort of stuff in them. Whereas in back in the day, maybe we were drinking more water or more wine? Like, how do the alcohols deal with this? Or is there like some sort of foods that are just good for your teeth? Is there anything you can eat that's good for your teeth?
Absolutely. The best things for your teeth are going to be leafy greens because they are just so highly nutriently dense. So leafy greens are amazing. The main reason I love leafy greens is because they contain a molecule called nitric oxide. So remember we learned nitrogen fixation when we were in, you know, elementary school? So the reason why that nitric oxide is really important because it's in the soil, like the nitrogen. And so the food you know, leafy greens, you break down that plant-based and then it turns into nitrate and nitric acid and our duodenum. Nitric acid is actually the molecule that our body actually uses. And it's the one that fights cancer. It's the one that fights heart attacks. It vasodilates, helps with blood pressure. And that's what helps us. It's our BFF that is always looking out for us. And we're able to get that. So good foods, lots of leafy greens. Now, bad food, lots of acids. If you make your body acidic, is what creates space for viruses, bacteria, all this stuff to overgrow. So those are definitely problematic. So leafy greens are amazing. Like my favorite foods, if you ask me, are apples. I love apples because they're easily self-cleansable. They also are nutrient-rich, so I love that. They're really easy. I love salads. I love green smoothies. I love every vegetable I can find. So that's, you know, I love millet, high in protein, really great. Those are my favorite foods as far as you know, foods go. The bad foods would be like, you know, like orange juice, believe it or not, is bad for your teeth, right? Because it's acidic. So apple cider vinegar is a common one that people have. If you're going to, or even hot water with lemon, bad for your teeth, but good for your body. So just use a straw so you don't get the decay, right? So have those things, but just don't, you know, brush your, you know, don't have it so it swishes around the whole mouth. Have it through a straw so you can swallow and it's totally perfectly fine. And then the other aspects that I really, really, really like to add in, you said earlier about there's so many toxins and there's so many things, definitely filter the water because we're 90% water. So we definitely want to filter the water. One of the things that I like to do as part of my like routine is also using something called zeolite. It's a, like you just put a drop in and you drink it throughout the day. What zeolite does, and there's only one brand that has zeolite with vitamin C in it because all of the cells in our body have a vitamin C receptor. So what that does is starts pulling out the toxins out of our body. So any food you eat, any pesticide that may be in something or any processed food, it'll actually help pull out all the toxins that are in your body on a daily basis, which is also something that will help with longevity.
What brand is that?
You know what? I can grab it for you if you give me
2 seconds. Yeah.
Okay, sure. I'll be right back. Yeah.
Didn't you order zeolite, Darren, recently? Weren't you ordering some zeolite, or is that different?
I don't know what zeolite is, so.
Okay, it's probably different. I'm thinking of the electrolytes, I think, that you were ordering or that you're drinking.
Yeah, I have electrolytes, yeah. The high salt ones.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
What happened? Did I order? I don't think I ever ordered those. I got to order those.
Yeah, they ain't cheap. That's the only crappy thing.
Did you get them from Amazon? I'm trying to remember where.
I get them
directly. Sent me a link, but
from Element.
Oh, Element, right. Okay.
This is my favorite one.
Okay. What is it called there? Clear
Clear Detox Pro.
What's that?
Clear Detox Pro by Mitrion Pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
Yeah, I really like it. It's really great. You can have it every day in your water, and it's really just great to kind of keep things removed, which is really awesome. Yeah, so yeah. I would say that would be great.
Okay.
What about electrolytes? Like, what about this sort of, we're drinking water now that's sort of completely sterilized, which is new in the human experience. We've probably been drinking water that's full of different natural electrolytes in it. Do those sort of minerals and stuff like that, do they help your teeth? Is there something to having mineral water or having electrolytes in your water?
That isn't as like calcium is most important, right? So making sure there's enough calcium, making sure your body has enough calcium, making sure you, because remember, everything is connected, right? So it's not just that. So the reason we look at calcium is and vitamin D we talked about earlier is because that has a direct correlation to how our teeth are going to be when we have low vitamin, because vitamin D is part of the hydroxynonapatite pathway. And so
didn't you just find out that we're all like 10 times low on that or something like that?
Yeah, we are. And that's one thing medical doctors don't test for. You have to, like, your insurance won't pay for it. It was so funny. I went last week to get my physical done because it's been a while. And I was like, oh, I want to test my vitamin D. They're like, your insurance is not going to pay for it. And I have pretty good insurance. So I was like, that's like the precursor to everything. But again, super important. And it is number one. One of the, you know, vitamin D deficiency, it can come out as like ADHD, it can come out as anxiety, it can come out as depression, feeling tired all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's just people are being misdiagnosed left and right. So people come seek us out and, you know, and especially if they have vitamin D deficiency, plus they have an airway issue, like if they had teeth extracted as a child, or if their sinuses, they can't breathe really well through the nose, you combine those two together and it's a combination for chronic illness.
Wow. That's fascinating. At least in Alberta, I asked for my vitamin D results and they wouldn't say it either. They said, we just automatically recommend 2000 IUs or something like that.
No, people need more than that. Yeah, people need more than that. And especially as you get older. So what happens as you get older, your body doesn't absorb as much as it did. Just like everything, like our salivary glands are not producing as much output. The same thing happens with vitamin D. Our bodies are just not able to absorb as much vitamin D as they should. And also in Alberta, you're way up over the equator. So it's different, right? And you're going through the seasonal stuff. Like one of the biggest things they talk about in Alaska is depression because the sun doesn't come out. And that is true and valid is because they're not getting the vitamin D.
Yeah. I wonder how that works here because where I am is one of the sunniest places in the world, but it's still cold as shit for half the year. And then the sun is, you know, like right now, the sun isn't up yet. It's probably going to rise any minute now. And then it'll set around 4:30. Right. But so should I be supplementing in the summer as well when I've got sunlight here from the time I get up, you know, from 6 a.m. till 10 p.m. the sun's out? Does that affect those levels or should you just be supplementing all the time?
It does. It affects, but it actually, my biggest question for you, Darren, is because you're podcasting, how often are you getting outside? So if
I spend 50 or 60 days a year out hunting and fishing. Yeah. So okay. A lot. And I live on a ranch, so I'm outside.
Okay.
Not as much as I used to be, but at least once a day for sure. And then when it's summer and fall, I'm usually out, you know, 4 days a week.
Okay. I say at least 30 minutes to an hour every day. Go for a walk. That's going to be sufficient for your body. And remember, you're wearing clothing as well and you're wearing sunblock. So I always say test. Like for me, I know in October, I have to start increasing my vitamin D. I double my dose because for us, we have the time change that occurs. And also being in the office, I don't get out as much.
Yeah. What happens if you take too much? Can you overdo it? Like if you didn't, could you just take your winter dose all year round or what would you notice happening?
No, you'd get irritable. Too much vitamin D is
going to... I noticed that when I was doing 10,000 a day that
it would
affect your mood.
Yeah, you get irritable. So the same thing happens if you have too much or too little is that you get either you're going to get lethargic, you're going to get irritable, you're not going to be able to sleep really well. They both will have the same effect. So I always say test it. So like in functional medicine, regular, you know, routine medical doctors want it between 50 and 60. In functional medicine, we want it as high as 80. And the reason is that because it's so important in so many different pathways, that. It's really, but you know, there's, you can even probably buy online tests where it's like a little prick and you can ship it away and you can test it very easily. I've seen it on Amazon. I think it's like $80. You can buy that and you can ship it away and they'll tell you what your vitamin D levels are. So I usually titrate for my patients, because I want to know, and I want it to be personalized, right? So I look at, what is your lifestyle like? Where are you? How much do I need to supplement you? And once I get them within a certain range, then I usually have about 5,000 a day is usually typically my maintenance mode. But the vitamin C, vitamin D I actually like is by Quiksilver Scientific. And I like it because it's also liposomal. It has D3, K2, and MK5, I believe, or MK7, which is the key to even help avoid osteoporosis. So that's the brand that I really, really, really enjoy.
Good to know. Yeah, for sure. So I wanted to mention, or Darren, do you have any other questions on vitamin D at all?
Well, I guess what about tanning? It used to be terrible, but then we had someone on the show a few years ago that said they've changed that technology and it's not so bad anymore. I do know, like when my wife was tanning, when she always seemed to be a little more glowy when she came back.
Tanning. She probably is going to be glowing. I wouldn't say, I'm sure tanning is helpful because it turns the skin darker, but again, it doesn't last forever, right? And so, tanning does help, but it's not
like the actual tanning beds, I guess. Vitamin D from that? Is that something worth having over the winter when we're not getting any actual sunlight?
My preference is
because it's one of those things that could actively be doing bad to you. Like to me, just crawling in that thing seemed weird.
Here's what I prefer instead, Darren. What I prefer is to do red light therapy would be my preference for you because it's going to help you here. You're out in the cold. It's going to activate your red blood cells. I'd prefer you to do that and then take the vitamin D as a supplement. I feel like you're going to get a better result, especially a better biohacking result and a better disease prevention out of those than you are going to be from a tanning bed.
Interesting. Awesome. That should be. So am I getting vitamin D from that red light too? I mean, I don't do the red light,
No, you're not getting vitamin D from the red light, but is there some that could give a little bit, but some not. But the reason I like the red light therapy is because it's regenerative. What it does is signals your body to start healing and lower inflammation. All of disease is inflammation. A cavity is an inflammation that's been there for a long time. Gum disease is an inflammation that's been there for a long time. So the inflammation, when it increases or it goes above a threshold, is when there's disease. But if you can do the red light therapy that tells your body, bring that inflammation down, bring that inflammation down, bring that inflammation down on a regular basis, you're going to get a bigger bang for your buck and for your time.
What about, we've probably got some people listening that dental is not covered. It's one of those things that's usually in a lot of places, it's not covered. It's expensive. And, we got a lot of people listening to the show that are too broke to even support the show. So they can't even afford $5 a month. So is there anything for these people that just can't, you know, they can't afford to get the life's hard right now. They can't get to the dentist. What can these people do at home that are maybe just, they can't get to the dentist every 3 or 4 months. They're only covered. Like in some of your dental plans only cover you once a year or once every 2 years and your major stuff isn't covered. And the economy's tough. What sort of practices can people do at home for cheap or free to sort of minimize their chances of this sort of thing?
That's a great question. Thank you, Darren. And for you listeners, and this is for everyone, whether you have the funds or not, I want you to start with good daily habits. Earlier, I mentioned we need to control the biofilm. So let's focus on that. The way we can do that, floss first, brush your teeth. Then next, I would scrape your tongue. You can get a tongue scraper or use your toothbrush, scrape all that bacteria out. That's a biofilm. Get it all out and create conditions for good bacteria to grow. Put some coconut oil on your gums. You can use your finger, rub it around, put some coconut oil on your gums. Take mouth tape and tape it. If you don't, you have scotch tape in the house, start there. You just take a loose vertical piece right over here. Start with the tape. You'll notice a big difference.
Taping your mouth closed?
You are very gently, though, not too tight. You've seen these things that are like this. Don't do that. Just take scotch tape. Don't go buy anything fancy. Use whatever you have in the house. So get that scotch tape and then just put it vertically right over here and try it out for a week. I guarantee you will wake up with better mouth. You'll wake up better sleep. You'll wake up with lower inflammation. Oh,
so this is just to stop you from mouth breathing while you're sleeping.
Right, because that's conditions that will make the biofilm grow. So if you wanted some things that are for free or that are easy to do, that's great. That's level one. Level two is get an electric toothbrush. Right? That's level two. And now if you wanted to go beyond that, then you'd come in for the cleanings and stuff like that. So I would say start there. You know, these are easy, simple to do, and you can start on it right away.
Are there any foods that should just be like that you absolutely avoid, that there's no good reason to, from a tooth perspective, from a mouth health perspective?
You know, I would say like acids, like
alcohol seemed to be a big one, right? Like I used to drink quite a bit and I quit drinking and I just noticed that. And I used to go to the dentist more than I do now. But my teeth were always just shit when I was drinking and my gums were always bleeding and I always had cavities. And now since I've quit drinking, I don't go to the dentist, but I, you know, just naturally your brushing and your flossing sort of gets better. But I haven't had a cavity, I don't think, since I quit alcohol.
Yeah, that's great. And I do think a number one thing is going to be, yes, alcohol, anything acidic, like I was saying, because alcohol is acidic as well, right? Apple cider vinegar is really bad for your teeth. Sucking on lemons is really bad for your teeth. So those would be things that I would be very mindful of, that is super bad for your teeth. You know, I always like to say food with something is, I want you to enjoy. So I have everything in moderation. If you're going to have if you want alcohol, have a glass of wine one day, one time a week, and you're good. If you have it excessively, if you have it every single day, multiple glasses, that's when the decay is going to start, right? So I'm not opposed to you enjoying life and having fun. I just want everything done in a way that's with moderation and controlled. So that way, you know, if you want to have hot water with lemon, it's great for your body and functional medicine actually encourages it. And so does Ayurveda. Drink it through a straw so it doesn't touch your teeth. Apple cider vinegar, same thing. Drink it through a straw so it doesn't touch your teeth. So just find modifications. But I like, honestly, for you to eat everything and enjoy everything because we're meant to do that. Our dentition is designed. We're meant for grabbing into stuff like an apple with our incisors and our back. We're known to do the mortar pestle action and chew. So I like that variety of different foods because it keep when you use those foods, it actually keeps your jaw muscles active and also signals your bone to stay in that area and your muscles to keep working. So
you mentioned chewing and we're chewing less than ever. What kind of effect does that have? Because I know like there was some balls you could get that Joe Rogan was talking about that were helping with people keep their wisdom teeth or with overbites or mouth breathing and all that sort of stuff was going back to a lack of chewing.
Yeah, it's true. And that's why I want you to eat everything. It is really true. What's happened with baby food development is that babies aren't eating as much as they should be. And what happens is that their jaw doesn't develop properly. So if you're not chewing, this entire jaw cavity isn't going to develop. And if it's not going to develop upper jaw, if it doesn't develop, your sinus cavity doesn't develop really good. If your sinus cavity doesn't develop really good, you can't breathe. It's the one thing you can't live without. And that's, again, increases inflammation, causes disease.
Wow.
Right? If your lower jaw, you can't, if it's not used, your windpipe will be really small. And again, it's part of your functional airway. And that's why dentistry is so important, is because it's part of your functional airway. It's the one thing you cannot live without is air. We can't even find it on Mars, you know? We can't find it on the moon. It's like the one thing that we have here.
Do you think we should be exercising or eating foods that cause us to chew more or things like that?
Yeah, my honest belief is we should be eating foods, whole foods, right? Number one. Number two, I also feel like we should be like, I'm from the land of yoga and breath work. And one of the reasons why they live so long is because of breathing.
Yeah.
They really breathe like 20 minutes of breathing every day. Box breathing is great. Just that breath through the nose is amazing to activate our vagus nerve, which is our rest and digest nerve. And it also is really great at a regeneration of our bodies, which is really great.
You mentioned at the beginning a bunch of different things that you layered on top of this, like I guess maybe spa-like amenities, you know, you have on your website. Yeah. You want to mention a little bit about how important that aspect is?
Yeah. So there's several, you know, earlier I spoke about how the body works. You know, we got to detoxify. So we have, of course, we make the dental visit very comfortable. We have warm neck wraps. We have machines that remove the biofilm and things like that. We've got lots of lasers, all this fun stuff. But we also add layers in for the entire body and well-being. We actually have these biomats. They're PEMF. And what they do is help increase circulation in the capillaries. So blood exchange doesn't occur in your arteries. It actually occurs in your capillaries. Your capillaries, basically, it's a big artery that goes into a smaller one and then a really small one. That small one is where the oxygen exchange and the nutrient exchange occurs. And so if you think about a big building, there's big pipes and small pipes. It's the small pipes that get clogged, not the big ones. So if you keep the small pipes open, which is what the PEMF mats do, it allows your blood circulation to be much better. It allows your detoxification to be much better. It allows your regeneration to be much better. So we use biomats. We also have these machines called the Hocket. What it is you sit inside it. It does infrared. It does it has sauna in it. It makes you sweat. You sweat out all the toxins. Also has ozone in it. So we're doing ozone through the skin versus like an IV, which is you got to puncture the vein for it. So it's a really nice way to detoxify the mouth, detoxify the body. And so that way we're removing the biofilm here, but also removing the biofilm from the entire body. And we're adding in agents that are really good for you. Ozone is extra oxygen. Again, one nutrient we can't live without. And that's the beauty of it is if we do it in a cadence and we do it in a way that really supports our system and the way it works, then we're able to live a long, healthy life.
Yeah, I was thinking about that clinical setting of the hospital. I went to the hospital about a month and a half ago or something like that. I haven't been for a while, but it was kind of just stark reminder of how clinical the setting is. Like it's really not very relaxing to help the body heal. But I mean, and I was thinking about the old healing temples and how like it'd be nice if there was a healing center, not necessarily a hospital, but a healing center where you might have the doctor care and the nurse care, but also like the spa-like amenities that you're talking about, or even like massage if people are in physical pain, like having massage right there, having these alternative therapies right in there. But we're so like siloed, especially in Canada, with the way things are in our medical system, that you're kind of just stuck in this like real sterile clinical environment that doesn't feel conducive to healing, really.
Yeah.
Remember we had that guy on the show that said that just by a natural standpoint, death and bacteria are always going to be trying to infiltrate those spaces because it's unnaturally sterile. It needs something. So you're almost encouraging death and disease in those spaces, it seems like. I don't know if that's just metaphysical or not. Is there any difference amongst ethnicities for tooth care and mouth care? I mean, I'm a Canadian Indian, and there seems to be a real problem with where our people had good teeth up until they started eating this, the diet that sort of came over with the Europeans, and then that it just went to shit, like real. Whereas now it seems like the opposite, that Indigenous Canadians have probably worse teeth, I would guess, on average than most people. Probably some of that's due to lack of care and lack of infrastructure, but they never had that care and infrastructure 200 years ago. And maybe their teeth weren't perfect, but they weren't in the shape they're in now. And then you see other nationalities that I'm not going to start naming them because I don't want to get in trouble.
No, but the British
are always fucking perfect, you know? And then you got British people, we can pick on them, that their teeth are always sort of not perfect. And there's obviously a vitamin D problem there. But what's going on there? Is it just sort of where you grew up, or is there some sort of genetic component to it? Is there genetics you see that just have good teeth no matter what happens, and some that just can't win?
You know, it's all three. You hit it right on the nail. You know, part of it is genetics. Part of it is how they were raised, right? In the environment. It's nature and nurture both. And especially, like you said, with the evolution of European diets or, you know, more processed food out of a can or out of it's made a big difference. And as far as, you know, different ethnicities, I tend to see it more with like socioeconomic backgrounds, I guess, and the lack to access to care, right, is really the things that I see more of as far as, you know, as that is occurring. But, you know, like in Indian genes, they have more gum disease because they never flossed. But cavities isn't really a big thing because they use a little miswak tree to brush your teeth, you know, many eons ago. So they're, I would say they're, you know, prone, less prone. I see Hispanic culture is more prone to cavities than gum disease. Typically it's because of the diet, high sugar, right? And then same thing with like, I would say like African tribes or even like Ethiopia and stuff like that, there's more decay, than we would find in other areas. So it just, I feel like, you know, just to like not make it so ethnicity focused, I try to focus on genetics and the environment. So that way it's tangible for people because now, you know, it's our environment that we have control over. And especially if you're in the US, you have so much more availability, right? Just like you're saying from Canada, it's hard to find a holistic dentist. It's hard to find these things. And now it's actually, I'm going to change that. And especially now, because we have TikTok, we have Instagram, we have YouTube, there is so much information that is free. People are educating themselves and really looking at how to be more preventative. And I'm really excited about that. So I feel like in the next 10 years, 20 years, we're going to see less and less of decay. We're going to see less and less of diseases is really what I'm thinking of the mouth. However, I do think we're going to find more chronic illnesses. And the reason for that is because our quality isn't what it used to be. Our food quality isn't what it used to be. Like the brushing, flossing thing people get, you know, mouth taping, they're really now getting. Coconut oil, they're really now getting as well. But the bigger pieces about chronic illnesses is really going to be what we need to focus on and how to prevent those, because we've got to focus on detoxification. How do we get all these bad things out of our body? How do we break it down so that, you know, even the stuff that's organic isn't 100% organic, right? It still has some chemicals in it. So how do we break that down? How does our body break that down, basically?
And get rid of it, because I've heard those things. Remember back in like 2018, 2019, I think I tried a site, it's called Cytodetox, because they said that that would actually expel it as well. Because a lot of times if you're breaking it down, just leaving it in your body, it makes it worse.
Right, right. That's why the sauna is so good, right? That's why heat. And that's also why you find people near the equator living longer as well, because they're sweating all the time.
Right.
So like last year, go ahead.
No, I just bought a steam sauna because I don't sweat as much, and I feel like that's an important thing, is to sweat fairly regularly.
Yeah. So like I was going to say, last year I went to Malaysia because I was invited for a conference to speak there, and it was really interesting to see in the culture and how people lived, and, you know, just because they were more active, they also, you know, their diets were very, you know, vegetarian friendly, I guess is the right way. They're closer to the equator. And I was looking at what their longevity cycle was, and it was a lot higher, which was really interesting. And then Singapore now is a man-made blue zone. So huge, right? So these are all, they're creating conditions to be able to live long, just like Italy was doing that naturally. Right. Same thing with Portugal. It was naturally doing that. India was naturally doing that. But now more and more societies are adapting and making changes and stuff. So that's really nice to see.
Yeah. So how does your practice work for coaching dentists? Like if there's dentists out there that are hearing this, can they get some coaching from you? And then also like, is there a way to find out, is there an organization that like a list of, holistic dentistry, if people are looking for a holistic dentist, that you have, that you know, instead of going through all everybody's websites and trying to figure out if they're really holistic or not. Or, I mean, I searched it today for a little bit and, you know, a whole bunch pop up and some say holistic in the title kind of thing, but.
Yeah, they're not really holistic. So I would say if somebody is looking for a holistic dentist, you can go to the Holistic Dentist Association. That's a really great place to go. If somebody is interested in, you know, getting coaching from me, just give us a call. We'll get on a one-on-one and then kind of customize and tailor the case towards you. I also have courses that I've done. They're online, drnamipatel.com. That's Dr. D-R and then N-A-M-M-Y, Patel, P-A-T-E-L, .com. There's courses for dentists. There's also courses for patients, if you want to know. We have a lot of international patients who want to learn, also medical professionals who want to learn about dentistry and it's how is the mouth related to the rest of the body, oral systemic connection. So there's courses on there. They're on demand. You can do them as you want to. So that's an easy place to start. I have a ton of videos, ton of blogs that are available on the website. And then, yeah, give us a call at the office where we can always do a virtual consult. As we're talking today with you guys, we can always get on Zoom and walk through things.
Darren, did you have any other questions at all? Or?
No, I think that's pretty good. I think that was a good interview. You mentioned the oil on the teeth. So should you be like pulling with that like some people do, or do you just rub it on and leave it on?
Rub it on and leave it on. Oil pulling isn't going to do much for your teeth. The pulling actually is detoxification because your tongue is highly vascularized. So it has a lot of blood vessels in there. So that's going to help with like the whole body function. But if you're looking at just the teeth, just at least, and then also people aren't really willing to sit for 20 minutes and right? That's kind of hard. At least rubbing it on your gums and then mouth taping, that's like my, I call it my BAM.
That'd be right before bed type thing.
Because it, you know, you're, when you sleep, you don't produce as much saliva. So this naturally will keep you hydrated.
Great.
That's awesome.
Great. Dr. Namrata, this has been great. We appreciate you coming on early before you start your day. It's Wednesday. I thought it was Friday. Big thanks for coming on the show. Where can our listeners, you gave the email again, where can our listeners track you down if they're looking for this sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're looking for this sort of thing, we also have our dental side, which is www.sf, as in San Francisco, Green, G-R-E-E-N, dentist, D-E-N-T-I-S-T.com. That's easiest way to do that. Our office line is 415-433-0119. You can check that out. If you want to check out our courses, you can go to drnamipatel.com and then you can purchase the courses through that.
And your book too, Age with Style.
Yeah, that's my book. It's every decade of your life. What can you do to live long and keep your teeth, of course.
Excellent. Dr. Namrata Patel, thank you for coming on the show. Have a good day and come back anytime.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. See you.
And that was our chat with Dr. Namrata Patel. What'd you think?
I got to go buy an electric toothbrush now.
I don't know.
One. I should have bought one at Costco last time I was there, but I need to buy an electric toothbrush.
I had an electric one and I went back to the other one just because, I don't know, I feel like it works better, but maybe not. Anyway.
I keep hearing everybody says these electric toothbrushes are the way to go, so I should probably trust it.
Yeah, man.
That was great.
Grab one today. That was a great chat. Big thanks to Dr. Namrata for coming on the show. Big thanks to you guys for listening. Even bigger thanks if you help keep us on the air over at grammerica.ca/support. Sign up for a monthly or make a one-time donation today. Keep the show going and growing through all of 2026. Other than that, check out grammericaoutlaw.ca for other podcasts. Contact at thecabin.com for trips and events. Adultbrain.ca for all the audiobooks. And grammericacbd.com for gummies and tinctures. Other than that, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next week.
Season's greetings from the Grimerica Show podcast. Gather around the fireplace. Help yourself to some hot cocoa with a little marshmallows in it. Maybe have a candy cane or two. And maybe some cookies. It's so warm and jolly. Grind Merry Christmas. Podcasting from the igloo. Darren plays Jingle Bells on the didgeridoo. And over there, that's Graham crying tears of joy as he listens in on the little drummer boy. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. I see you've acquainted yourself with D-Ron. Yeah, it's true, he puffs Christmas trees on medicinal. Wait a second, is that, yeah, I think that Sasquatch beneath the mistletoe.
Get over here, Graham. Thank you for saving me and giving me a kiss.
And it looks like Napoleon Doom is decorating the room with tinsels, ribbon, popcorn on strings, and poinsettias, they are in bloom. And you might ask, who's that in the green and red Lucia Libre mask? Why, of course, that's RPJ, Feliz Navidad. It's so warm and jolly. Cry Merry Christmas. Podcasting from the igloo. Darren plays Jingle Bells on the didgeridoo. And over there, that's Graham crying tears of joy as he listens in on the little drummer boy. You'll get a warm and fuzzy feeling if you donate to the Grimerica Show. So get in the spirit, reach down in your pocket and make it rain. Let it snow, make it snow, let it snow, let it snow, make it snow. Donate to the show. Donate to the show. Donate to the show. It's so warm and jolly. Merry Christmas. Podcasting from the igloo. Darren plays Jingle Bells on the didgeridoo. And over there, that's Graham crying tears of joy as he listens in on the little drummer boy. Po-ru-ru-ru-ru.